Ladies and gentlemen, today we begin a series of studies on the subject, the Holy Spirit, the work and operation of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, miracles and healings by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are subjects for our study during the next few weeks. Perhaps there is no subject in the Bible so grossly misunderstood as that of the Holy Spirit. Ignorance of the Bible teaching on this most important theme has caused true Christianity to be exchanged for the sawdust trail, get religion, and get the Holy Ghost feeling type of religion. My friends, I can tell you that not one time in the Bible was anyone ever told to get religion or get the Holy Ghost. Yes, we are told to practice religion, but not get it. Many honest and sincere people have been misinformed. The Holy Spirit is a person, a comforter, who guided the apostles in God's revelation through Christ to men of this earth. The term holy very fitly expresses the character of that Spirit, which is the source of all holiness and purity. The Holy Spirit is a divine being, an intelligent speaking personality, one of the Godhead three. He is not a ghost, clouded in mysticism, making mysterious descents from heaven, striking the souls of men, causing them to fall out prostrate on the ground or at an altar, losing their physical and mental balance. Such superstition might be associated with ghost tales, but not rightly with the Holy Spirit and His work. Many honest souls, under the spell of emotionalism, have even lost consciousness and have been made to believe that they were saved by some direct power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not recognized in a bodily sense, although He is a person. He is unheard, unfelt, unseen, untasted, and unsmelled. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have, declared our Master in Luke 24, verse 39. We are not to become confused about the personality and the identity of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference in personality and materiality. Actually, personality does not pertain to materiality. Bodies which are purely material have no personality. They are dead bodies. The body without the Spirit is dead, we're told in the Bible. Only the Spirit gives evidence of personality. That which is spiritual is not material. Personality becomes distinct and pure to that degree it is uncontrolled and unhampered by that which is material. Personality is the revelation and function of spirituality. The Holy Spirit has no material manifestations or demonstrations. The Holy Spirit, however, is a distinct personality, a distinct personal being. When men claim to be witness of material manifestations and revelations of the Holy Spirit, such are false witnesses. The Holy Spirit cannot be identified as materiality. When men claim that they saw the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit appeared unto them in identity form, they are mistaken. The Holy Spirit does not and has not appeared unto man and in such material manifestations. The Holy Spirit is divine and as much a person as God Himself. The Spirit was with the Father and the Son in the chambers of the high court of heaven, even before the worlds began. In fact, Jesus declared, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. This is an affirmation that the reign of the Godhead is through the Spirit and by the truth of God. The personality of the Holy Spirit is evidenced by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is said to do things only a person can do. One, the Holy Spirit teaches. Jesus said, and he shall teach you all things. John 14, verse 26. Two, the Holy Spirit reproves. When Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to the apostles, he said, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16, verse 8. Three, the Holy Spirit is a guide. In giving this promise, Jesus told the apostles, he will guide you into all truth. John 16, verse 13. Fourth, the Holy Spirit, characteristic of a person, speaks. Continuing his promise to send the Holy Spirit, Jesus declared, "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, that shall he speak." John 16, verse 13. Paul declared, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Holy Spirit, therefore, is a person who hears and speaks. Fifth, the Holy Spirit is one who is affected as a person. He may be grieved, as we read in Ephesians 4, verse 30. He may be vexed, as we read in Isaiah 63, verse 10. The Holy Spirit may be lied to, as we read in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. The Holy Spirit may be resisted or rejected, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Number 6. The Holy Spirit as a person, appointed as directed God's chosen men. Acts 13, verse 2, it is revealed. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Thus we see the personality of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by the work of the Spirit, that he is indeed a person. From the beginning, the Old Testament presents the Godhead as three: God, the originator and supreme ruler of all beings; Christ, the Son, later called the Word, was the co-creator of all things; and the Holy Spirit, the life-giver and organizer, who gave all matter the law through which he would guide all things in its course for which it was created. God the Father and his Son, in the beginning, created all things. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 it is declared, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it is revealed, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made or created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." After the work of creation was finished by the Father and the Son, the work was given over to the ministry of the Holy Spirit for organization and operation of the created. The 6 days of creation were actually 6 days of organization by the Holy Spirit. There is no way to determine the time element between the time of in the beginning of Genesis 1 and verse 1 and that of the advent of the Holy Spirit with the beginning of his ministry revealed in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. During the 6 days of his ministry, the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, organized matter, gave it form, ordered that of the procreative power, setting forth creation upon its mission in the universe. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, it is recorded, "The heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them." Again, it was said, "By his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent." Job 16, 26 and verse 13. The Holy Spirit placed the bodies and planets in their proper position and place, and the laws to guide and govern them in ever-revolving cycles of space and never-ending cycles of eternity. David, the sweet singer of Israel, declared concerning the Spirit, "Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. There can be no doubt that the Holy Spirit is everywhere, guiding and directing all processes and operations in God's universe. The Holy Spirit miraculously put into order the first creatures of Almighty God. The original man and woman were formed by the miraculous power without the means and law of procreation and development. No man exists except through law made and arranged by the Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit, but different manifestations. Law itself has no power or force, but it is that through which power operates. It requires just as much power, a manifestation of God's Spirit, to form a man by the law of procreation, as it did for that same Spirit to form Adam and Eve from the dust of the earth by a direct power without the law of procreation. This life or germ that God, through His Spirit, gives to a grain of corn, for instance, which produces, the Bible says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, is as much the manifestation of divine power as the creation of the first plant with its full-grown mature grains in the ear. Not only did the Holy Spirit give the law which guides matter in its workings, but He took up His abode in that law and is ever present, guiding in the path of life and light. Many times, when man looks upon things accomplished through the medium of law, he loses sight of the power which makes that law work. In other words, we oftentimes attribute the power behind the law to the power of the law itself. It must be remembered, however, that there is no power in law itself. Law alone has no power. Law is only a rule of action. It is a medium through which the power operates. Both Old and New Testament scriptures were revealed by the Holy Spirit. This affirmation is made in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, when the inspired man of God said, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The New Testament reveals the Godhead as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Son gave His life and His blood to redeem man from his sins. The Holy Spirit was sent as a comforter to abide with God's children and lead them and guide them by truth in paths that lead to God. They are divine, distinct persons, yet one in design, one in purpose, and one in manifestation. Before Christ finished His work on this earth, He chose His apostles as His ambassadors, as you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. This is what the apostle said, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Christ, the Son of God, promised, "He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever things He shall hear, that shall He speak." The Holy Spirit is that person to bring this message unto the apostles as the ambassadors of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit is a person and has an office, and that office is distinct as it is with Christ and God. Yet it is so distinct that Christ and the Holy Spirit were not on earth at the same time in their separate, distinct personalities. It is recorded in John 7, verse 39, "But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believed on Him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." According to John 16 and verse 7, Jesus declared to His disciples, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Just before Jesus went back to the Father in heaven, He commanded the apostles, Luke 24, verse 49, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The mission and advent of the Holy Spirit into this world after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus was to guide the apostles, the chosen ambassadors of Christ, into all truth and to bring to their remembrance the things that He had taught them while He was on earth. The Holy Spirit began His work of revealing the message of the Son to lost humanity after the Son returned to the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit was subject to the Son, and the Son was subject to the Father. The message of the Spirit was the message of Christ, The message of Christ was the message of the Father. It was the Son himself who declared, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." John 4, verse 34. Furthermore, our Lord admonished, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you." John 14, 15, 17. The Holy Spirit came to bear testimony of the Son, and to bring to remembrance the apostles the teaching of Christ. "When he is come, he shall guide you into all truth," the Lord said. Furthermore, he said, "He shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." John 15, 26, 27. Although the apostles, Christ's ambassadors, had been with him from the beginning, God would not trust to their sacred memory the things that the Lord had taught himself, but would send to them the Holy Spirit to guide them in remembrance of that which he had revealed unto them, which he had taught them previously. Just as the Father and Son were perfect, the Holy Spirit did his work perfectly. He was perfect in setting in order the operation and development of the material world. The sun, the moon, the stars have not yet had an accident, nor shall they ever be expected to do so. Not one beat of a split second of time was miscalculated. The Holy Spirit organized and gave law and order to the material creation, taking up his abode in those laws to guide their operation for all time to come. In like manner, the Holy Spirit, as the Lord's agent, took up his abode in the law of Christ in the spiritual realm, guiding its operations through the chosen ambassadors of the Son, the apostles, revealing all truth completely and perfectly. Ladies and gentlemen, when men today claim to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit, they deny the God of heaven, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One may as well claim that he can change the orbit of the sun and bring the moon and the stars to this earth and use them for street lights as to claim direct revelation of the Holy Spirit. These are false claims. Many are honestly mistaken, and some are imposters. Yes, the Son promised to his apostles who had been with him from the beginning, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." John 16, 13. "He shall guide you into all truth," was that firm declaration of our Lord. The Holy Spirit guided them into all truth. These men and women who claim to receive revelation of the Holy Spirit, who claim to be guided by the Holy Spirit directly from heaven, even to the extent of performing great miracles, are not guided by the Holy Spirit, my friends. They have no more received a direct message from the Holy Spirit than they have received a message from a Russian spy on the moon. Many honest people have been deceived by such false claims. Such false claim is a mockery of God. But the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." The Holy Spirit did his work perfectly and completely as he came to the apostles to guide them into all the truth.